Hi, this is Rachel McElroy.
Hello, this is Griffin McElroy.
And this is Wonderful.
Thank you for listening to Wonderful. This is a television program that's sometimes in podcast form. This one's going to be a podcast. Next week, catch us on TV.
Every week, we make a decision as to whether or not this will be on TV.
Yes, and TBS at 3:15 p.m. Mm-hmm. on Sunday mornings, Sunday afternoons. We are going to be on, check your TBS 3:15 Sunday. We might be on there this week, but this week we're going to hit you with the podcast
format. We call TBS at 3:14 every Sunday, and we say whether or not the podcast is going to be on air.
They're
this
sweating
week.
Fucking bullets over there, because they don't got nothing else. I think last time I talked shit about a television network, you like came at me and were like, actually, they had a million great shows.
Is so TBS Characters Welcome?
That's USA. I'm pretty sure. Anyway, this is Wonderful. It's not TBS. It's a podcast where we talk about things that we like that is good, that we are into. And do you want to do a small... Sometimes we do small wonders. In the TBS format of this show, there's no time for small wonders. Because it starts at 3:15. We've only got... I mean, with commercials, about 8 minutes of programming time. So we can't bullshit at all. But here in this podcast space, no one cares if we bullshit. We can bullshit nonstop and no one's going to say anything about it because we have no oversight from anyone except Jesse, who listens to every episode of every podcast everyone on the network records and produces and then sends us a picture of him either giving a thumbs up or a thumbs down to.
Well, now we're a co-op too. So like every owner has to listen to every podcast.
One thumbs down and the whole thing goes in the toilet.
Yeah, we have to start over.
I start right over.
You gave me a lot of time to come up with something.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, maybe I've said this before, I don't know, the ice cream sandwich.
Sure.
I'm a big fan. I don't know that you're as big of a fan as I am.
Not at all.
There's just something about it, man, the little cookie outside.
Yes.
And then there's a very, very soft ice cream on the inside and you just bite in there.
Yeah.
The cookie protects your teeth from the biting.
The cookie protects your teeth from the biting.
You know how if you like... put your teeth on ice cream, it can
sucks.
Hurt.
Yeah, no.
But if you got the cookie buffer.
For me, the cookie proves an insubstantial buffer from the ice.
I still get
the cold, bad feeling on my teeth when I buy an ice cream sandwich, which is why I don't prefer it. Although we have had those Nightingale ice cream sandwiches before.
Yeah, we still have some old ones in our freezer.
Do we really?
Yeah.
Dang, gonna polish those up. They have like a Bananas Foster sort of flavor, one of those that is like off
the chain. It's a very large, dense ice cream sandwich. It's difficult to consume one by yourself. So we have to both kind of turn our keys on the ice cream sandwich.
Yes. I'll say roast beef. It's, I don't eat a lot of like meat sandwiches, but when I do, I get in there with the big dogs.
I feel like
dogs.
We both brought things that neither of us is like a particular, like, I don't know.
I've eaten like four roast beef sandwiches this week.
I'm not a huge roast beef fan.
Oh.
I feel like I kind of go along with it in the same way that you go along with ice cream sandwiches.
Okay. Well, we'll do a little swap maybe. This week, do a little swap.
Why? I just told you I don't want to.
Well, it's important to me. It's important to me, okay?
Okay.
I never do this, but this one's important to me, so I'm going to draw a line in the sand right here and say you will become a roast beef fan.
Okay.
And I'll eat these disgusting ice cream sandwiches that I hate so much.
Yeah.
I go first this week.
Okay.
I'm going to talk about a song. It's by an artist named Anomaly. Spelled with an IE at the end. And the song is called Velours. And I think this might be the funkiest song I've maybe ever heard in my whole life. Anomaly is a Canadian keyboardist and music producer who's sort of like kind of on the vanguard of this genre of music that is very, I feel like, popular on YouTube in the like... chill music to study to kind of playlist vibe. It's not really lo-fi, like I've talked about, kind of like lo-fi hip-hop beats on the show before is like a nice thing to kind of like zone out to. This is kind of different in that it's got kind of like chill electronic jazz funk elements that is really just kind of a vibe that is difficult to describe.
I was getting strong jazz.
What I saw, the description I saw online often is new jazz with in you, which doesn't sound like something I should like. But this song fucking rips. This dude is incredibly talented. His name is Nicholas Dupuis, I believe. He is from Montreal. He was born there in 1993 and started receiving sort of classical piano training at a young age. He quickly sort of branched out into more jazz-influenced styles that would, like, very heavily influence his work. He apprenticed with some, like, Canadian jazz pianists for several years in his late teens, which is not something I knew you could do. I didn't know musicians took on apprentices. I thought
I don't
that was
know
just
what that looks like.
Blacksmiths and...
Do they just turn the pages for a while and then eventually they get to touch the keys?
That's exactly it. You're not ready. Show me your fingers. No, not yet. I'll let you know. He started performing music in the early 2010s and joined a label just back in 2016, which I guess actually is 8 years ago. It's wild. He put out his first album in 2016 called Odyssey and then toured for a year before he released an EP called Metropole, which contains this song that I'm talking about today, Velours, and seven other absolute club bangers. I'm going to play a little bit of Velours now, so prepare to vibe. It's so fucking fresh and very playful and just unbelievably funky. There is a viral YouTube video of him performing the song, which is what I sent to you. The full version of the song is a bit longer, but there's just like a 2.5 minute version that's just him playing to a small room full of folks who are bopping harder than I've ever seen human beings like bop to music before.
And they're standing like 3 feet away from him. So like every single person there looks a little bit self-conscious about the way they're bopping because he is so close to
except them. For one dude. There's one dude who is not self-conscious about the way he's bopping, and that's delightful. There's all these like fresh little like pauses in the song that like seeing a room full of people kind of bopping and then just stop with the pause as like a little tiny little refrain plays and then get right back into it back on the beat is like absolutely the best shit ever. That is like the dream concert going experience for me, is like this almost sort of like ritual, like a rhythmic sort of vibe. The comments on that video are next level good. Just people just stupefied by the funk of it all. There's one that said, is clean enough to eat off of. My favorite said, this is so in the pocket that it left the pants entirely. It's really good. I'd forgotten I heard this song before on the soundtrack to this sick indie skateboarding game called Ollie Ollie World. And it is, as you can imagine, after hearing that, pretty tight music to just like skateboard and do a bunch of dope combos and tricks and shit too. This video is him performing the song in just this packed room, and it really sells what a performer this dude is. There's a lot of stuff happening in this song, but he plays this show solo, and I think a lot of his tours he plays solo. But because there's like a lot of different parts to the music, he is accompanied by his, you know, by Ableton or whatever like music production software that he uses to play live. What is great is he's like jumping around between like the different like parts of the song. Like he plays the piano chords for a bit and then like these big synth melodies and these little chirpy bits. What's awesome is that to sort of like stave off the impression that all he's doing is just like playing a MIDI thing he recorded on his computer, and like he actually, when he performs, he angles his keyboard down and away from himself so that everybody could see. I don't know if you noticed that in the video.
I didn't.
But the reason that he does that is so that everyone can see him from wherever they are in the audience actually playing the keyboard.
Yeah, interesting.
Which is like, it is interesting because it's like not, I don't think it's coming from a
place of insecurity.
Right. It's not coming from a place of like, I don't want people to think that I'm a phony up here.
Yeah.
It's like it's impressive to watch his hands move on the keyboard, and you get a sense of like what he is actually making on the stage in front of everyone.
Yeah, I think that's also maybe what added to the jazz vibe for me, is to see him kind of like do his little finger movements, you know?
Yeah, and like the pitch bend wheel thing that he, like, puts the vibrato like on the notes. Yeah. Like, it's really, it's a flex. And like, it is the sign of a person who has practiced this one craft for a billion hours and is just like going to show everybody what is up. It's an incredible song. I've been listening to it nonstop. I wasn't familiar with this dude other than that one game soundtrack he was on. And so after seeing this video, I dipped into Spotify and he's got like a lot of fucking great tunes on there. Not the least exciting of which is a whole Holiday album with similarly funky renditions of tracks like there's O Tannenbaum and Sleigh Ride. I've already like bookmarked it all.
I was going to say, you're going to be
already tossed it on the Holiday playlist.
Hard. Yeah.
My favorite, I actually want to play a little bit of my favorite. It's a version of Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy that goes so unbelievably hard. So I'll play a little bit of that now. I'm like already looking forward to the holidays.
Of course,
just
yeah.
Just like mixing this in with the Vince Guaraldi and the Sufjan Stevens and all the other sort of like mainstays. I'm just like set up. This past weekend you were traveling. I played Velours for the Boys in the car. We were like driving somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
In between like their usual diet of automaton covers of popular songs and like that one Imagine Dragon songs over and over again, I was like, I'm gonna play something for Dad, and it fucking killed in the room. These boys were bopping to it. They were loving it.
Oh, good.
Henry was commenting on how much he liked it, which is like exciting because I don't play Dad's music for him that often, so it was really exciting. But yeah, the song's called Velours. The artist is Anomaly, and it's exciting. I've added a new musician to my Rolodex, and I feel like it's been a long time since I've done that, so I'm kind of like, I've got that post-musical discovery glow right now, if you can't tell.
No, I can tell.
I've also been moisturizing.
Mm-hmm.
Can I steal you away?
Yes.
We all got needs, and to satisfy those needs, we subscribe to different services to fulfill those needs. Some of them are pretty dang good at it, if I do say so myself. But then you put away your childish things. You say, I don't have a need for a string cheese subscription service.
I keep receiving this huge box of string cheese every month and immediately throwing it away.
Yeah.
Maybe I should not receive this huge box of string cheese every month.
But you forget, don't you? So easily.
I know.
Your many subscriptions you've scattered, like Johnny Appleseed to his apple seeds. Well, Rocket Money is here to help. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. I've used Rocket Money before, and it found, not a joke, maybe 6 things that I had completely forgotten about. Like, maybe about $50 a month worth of shit that I just completely did not know, nor did I interface with the things that I was subscribing to.
Yeah, it's like that. We got that one app that promised to show us hockey and then almost entirely stopped showing us hockey.
Yep.
And
Rocket Money was like, you're not watching the hockey anymore. The Blues lost and not in the playoffs. Anyway. Rocket Money is fantastic, and we recommend using it if you think you might have some of those phantom subs. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wonderful. That's rocketmoney.com/wonderful. One last time, rocketmoney.com/wonderful. Folks, I'm recording this ad by myself because Rachel, she did something totally wild. She hopped on her electric e-bike, and she was like, I am out of here. And then she zoomed off. She hit a ramp and flew up in the sky like an E.T. movie and just went so fast that I was like, dang, where'd my wife even go? And she yelled from over the horizon on a bike adventure. And so I have to celebrate that. I have to cheer for her on that. This bike that Rachel got from Electric E-Bike, it is one, very sleek and stylish. It looks fast because it is. The battery lasts forever. It shows up at your door, ships for free. It's got a quick toolless assembly, and you can even fold it up for easy travel and storage. It is the perfect time of year to have a sweet little bike for yourself to go on your own bike adventures away from your husband. Anyway, go full throttle into spring with Lectric e-bikes, the number one selling e-bikes in the nation. Get your adventure started at lectricebikes.com, and please mention that Wonderful sent you in the post-checkout survey. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
It's Webby season. Hi, I'm Sequoia Holmes, host of the Black People Love Paramore podcast, and we are nominated for a Webby for the episode where I interviewed Hayley Williams. In case you're unfamiliar, Black People Love Paramore is a podcast delving into the common and uncommon interests of Black people in order to help us feel more seen. We would love your vote to help us win this Webby. Please take a second, go over to the Black People Love Paramore podcast social media accounts, and you can find them at BPLP Pod across all social media platforms. Hit the link in bio and vote for Black People Love Paramore.
Hi, I'm Travis McElroy.
And I'm Teresa McElroy.
And we're the host of Schmanners.
We don't believe that etiquette should be used to judge other people.
No, on Schmanners, we see etiquette as a way to navigate social situations with confidence.
So if that sounds like something you're into,
join us every Friday on Maximum Fun, wherever you get your podcasts.
What have you done? What have you done? What have you done?
What have I done? This one will be interesting because if you don't have a lot of experience with it, I may make you watch a clip. But if you do, a clip probably won't be necessary.
Let's see.
I'll give you a hint.
Okay. I like this. A game.
My topic is...
Jerry Seinfeld? Bob Dylan?
Movie phone.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, yeah. But you can understand why I said... Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Did you call movie phone as a child?
Sure, yeah.
Can you like hear the voice in your head?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's I was trying to decide whether or not we have Rachel put a clip in here.
I think we absolutely should.
I think we should because I think there's probably a lot of listeners that aren't familiar with movie phone.
Yeah.
And it's a very distinct kind of voice.
Yes. And a distinct kind of service that I imagine to anyone even barely younger than us is such a fucking mystifying conceit. Well, let's play a little bit of movie phone here.
Hello, and welcome to movie phone. If you know the name of the movie you'd like to see, press 1. To select from a list of current movies, press 2. Slaves of New York. Still Breathing. Taz Gone Loony. Fight Back to School 2.
Okay. That was important to me because even... Even if you think you remember movie phone, it's still jarring to hear somebody use that voice as a person.
Yeah. Everything about it is wild. One, that this was a service we required.
Yeah.
Two, I think it cost money to call it, right?
No.
Was it toll free?
It was free.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And also that was the dude and that was the voice and that was the performance that was delivered week in, week out to tell you movies, showtimes and
the
shit.
The guy is Russ Leatherman.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that perfect? It's spelled like Leatherman, but I don't imagine he pronounced it that way.
Russ Leatherman.
Russ Leatherman. Also sounds like a horror movie monster.
Yeah.
He had no voice actor training. He was just a college DJ.
Yeah, of course. I was going to say, that man's a radio performer. That man has performed on radio before. He has a real... I've heard that voice in my home.
He was with a group of people, like friends, business partners, Andrew Jarecki, Adam Slutsky, Douglas Hoitenga, and Robert Gukaisen.
Crushed it, babe.
They started Movie Phone in 1989. Yes, sir.
That's why I thought that this was for sure like AOL era sort of.
Well, AOL thing. Actually did purchase
right
Movie Phone at one point. It went national 1990 and then spread throughout the country. It started in New York and Los Angeles in 1990 and then spread.
I'm a bit foggy on, so maybe you can explain like what this service actually provided.
Yeah.
When you called movie phone, why you did it and what it gave you.
Well, I mean, first of all, pre-internet. So if you wanted movie times, you either had to have a newspaper or you had to physically go to the movie theater.
Right.
because nobody was like answering the phone at a movie theater prepared to run you through everything,
right?
You know, and so this was like a toll-free phone line around the country, most often 777 film, I guess.
Cool.
That would provide the title, the showtime, the theater, and the street direction.
That's not
I guess
possible.
Would tell you specifically how to get there.
But movie showtimes would be different theater to theater. So
you would enter your zip code.
Oh, okay.
And then it would give you like a list of theaters nearby, and then you would select that theater, and then it would give you a list of, you know, movies.
Okay.
You know?
Right.
You would just kind of keep pressing a button to get through the sequence to get to what you wanted.
The good thing about being the youngest child in a family is that I never was even consulted.
All of this was planned for you.
All of this was planned for me. I never was like, hey guys, I've got a film I want to go see.
Yeah, so they had this idea of like, well, let's make a call-in line that people can go to get this information, because showing up at the movie theater just hoping to find a film was not something that people consistently wanted to do.
Right.
And I mean, it's good they did, honestly, because the number of people that get a newspaper now, I could like count on one hand, that I know. And supposedly that this kind of started a lot of newer phenomenons like paying with your credit card and reserving your seating. Like, as they got more advanced, they could take information over the phone, and you could actually reserve your ticket through movie phone. So Russ Leatherman, him and his friends kind of all took turns trying to do their voiceover work. And Russ was the one who had the best voice out of the group.
Gosh,
he said he tried to do Dick Clark on drugs, kind of like like a goofy radio voice that just like, you know, distinct.
Yeah.
And so I guess in order to get income, they would, one, provide demographic information to studios. So I guess like people from this zip code are interested in these kind of films.
Oh, that's interesting.
And then they would also, and I remember this later, they would start running ads for movies. So you would like call and it would be like this fall, and you would hear like a trailer for some film.
I do remember that. I do remember hearing a trailer over the phone, which was a bizarre experience.
So in the early 90s, if you wanted to buy a ticket, it would happen via fax machine.
Awesome.
So movie phone would receive your credit card information. They would fax it to the theater, and then the theater would reserve that ticket for you.
Who needs the internet? Not me. When I can call an answering machine to have them send my credit card information unencrypted to my local theater to fax it. What the fuck, man?
The box office attendant was supposed to physically file each order so that I guess when you showed up, you would say like, hi, I'm John Stevenson and I bought tickets for this. And they would go and find S and they would pull out the S folder and they would look to find your fax.
Just wild.
I know. So you mentioned this American Online.
That's the first time I think I've ever heard anyone say that. I used to work for AOL, and I don't think I've ever heard anyone call it American Online. I don't think it's American Online. Isn't it just America?
It's America. Yeah. No, that's why I caught myself. AOL bought Movie Phone for an estimated $388 million in stock.
I thought for sure you were going to say 1,000.
In 1999.
Yeah, no, $388 million in 1999 that's so much money for a phone number.
Yeah, by 2004, the service was fielding about 5 million calls a week. And how they got it together, and it was definitely tedious. Russ spent days and weeks and months in a small recording booth recording every theater in the country and every possible telephone scenario.
Can't fucking imagine. That's so much recorded content.
I know. Then as cities started getting recorded within a few years, he would just spend 2 or 3 hours a week, you know, just focusing on the new movie titles.
Right.
But he'd already said like all the times in the theaters. And
but still direction. Someone has to like cut all that shit to get like that's an outrageous amount of audio production work.
I know. Movie Phone also featured in a Seinfeld episode, which was very popular.
That's why you did the voice that you did at the beginning. Now it makes sense.
Although it was not Jerry Seinfeld that did the Movie Phone impression.
Okay.
I just, whenever I'm doing a male distinct voice, I tend to go Jerry Seinfeld.
For sure.
I don't know why.
I remember when Movie Phone kind of got folded into AOL Instant Messenger, and there was like a chat bot or something.
Whoa, that's interesting.
You could send a message to, and it would like respond with movie times and stuff like that.
Movie Phone. So as a Movie Phone as a website does still exist.
That's great.
If you go, they do have show times, but they also have like trailers and they have correspondents that interview actors. You know, it looks like any other like kind of Fandango sort of site.
Yeah.
Which to mention, Movie Phone for a long time did have to contract with an external credit card partner just to get all that to work.
Right.
And so what ended up happening, the phone number got shut down in 2014. And then in 2018, Movie Phone was sold to another company.
For $500.
The company behind the MoviePass subscription service.
Okay.
And then in 2020, it was sold again to Born in Cleveland LLC, which continues to operate the website.
That's adorable.
Yeah.
I like that.
Interestingly enough, Andrew Jarecki, the one I mentioned as one of the founders, he directed the 2003 documentary Capturing the Freedmans and HBO's The Jinx docuseries.
Whoa.
And apparently Adam Slutsky, one of the other partners, is a CEO of...
I recognize that name.
Yeah, CEO of Mimeo.
Okay.
As far as I know, Russ Leatherman, not quite as notable, but
not
still
active.
Very happy to talk about his beginnings in Movie Phone. This was kind of like Time and Temperature, or
yes.
You know, it was like, it was a number.
You'll need to explain that.
Okay.
Sorry, you will. You simply will.
Again, before the internet, you had television news that was only on certain times a day. You had newspapers. And then if you wanted any current information, you had a phone number that you would call to get that current information. And so it was like a number I knew I could call and not get in trouble with my parents.
Right.
And just kind of get some up-to-date information.
About the time and temperature.
About the time and temperature.
It really... I am so in my head about not... sounding like, specifically on this show where we talk about stuff sometimes
yeah.
that is older, not sounding like, well, back in my day.
I know.
But it is fundamentally buck wild how every step of the process of I want to see a movie, what movies are out, what show times are there, you know, where is the theater, can I reserve my seats in advance, like all of that is completely like the way that I make that whole process go is completely different. And
yeah.
it's way better. Like, don't get me wrong. It kicks so much ass that I can do all that stuff in the span of like 90 seconds now without having to talk to an answering machine.
Well, and it's just that you can be nimble with your plans. That was what was always hard for me as a teen.
Yes.
Was that you would have to follow this track to get a specific bit of information. And if you wanted to change last minute, you would start over again, whether it was like directions or movie theaters or movie times or the movie. It was like if anything changed, you had to call that number and start the whole process
over. And I had multiple times. I can remember multiple instances. Once when I was like going to a movie with friends, and a couple times when I was like going with my family, where we would show up to the theater to find out that we had the wrong time,
yeah.
and so there would be no movie today. And the fact that could happen, I remember Justin went on a date once, and the whole fam went on it, and I forget what the movie was that we were going to go see, but we showed up to the theater and we got the time wrong, and so we decided to see. A movie that hadn't quite started yet, which was Mortal Kombat Annihilation. And our family accompanied Justin on a date to see Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Wow.
That's a fun story. Yeah, cool. Thank you, Movie Phone.
Yeah. I mean, if it is true, I mean, it's possible they are making claims that they can't back up. But if it is true that they really started the whole, like, buying tickets with your credit card and reserving your tickets in advance, like, that is a phenomenon that is still, like, very important today.
Yeah.
And it's wild to me because I really just thought they were, like, a helpful phone line for movie times. But clearly,
I don't know much how. More. I worked at a movie theater in 2006, I want to say, and I feel like that technology was still incredibly nascent. Like when someone showed up to the movies and was like, I bought my ticket online, you'd be like, well, fuck, let me get my manager because I don't know. Can you show me a picture of the email?
Well, when I would call as a kid, too, like I didn't have a credit card. I was just calling to get the time. So there was still the uncertainty of getting to the theater and whether or not there would actually still be tickets available when I used to do it.
So
and so, yeah, you would. You would try and call the theater and be like, are there still tickets for Slackers? And they would be like, they probably wouldn't answer the phone, honestly, is what they would be like.
if when I was a kid, the like shit like the Movie Pass existed, like I would have never, I don't think I ever would have left the theater. We had that at Blockbuster. Blockbuster had like a membership program where like you could check out like two things a week as part of this membership, whether it was movies or video games or whatever. And I used the shit out of that. The idea that that could exist for films, you know, back before we had kids and stopped going to movies is incredibly enticing. Anyway, thank you so much for listening to our program.
What are the folks at home saying?
Well, I'll tell you exactly because I do have some of those right now. And thank you so much for reminding me. I got one here from Duck who says, my small wonder is going to an appointment you're stressed about and it going better than you expected. I recently went to the dentist for the first time in 5 years and thought they would tell me my mouth was a horrible void, but it turned out totally fine and everyone was very kind about my long absence. Plus, I got clean teeth at the end.
Yes.
I love that.
Yes, I'm one of those people, it takes me forever to schedule something, and then when I finally do and it's over, I'm just like, wow, that was a lot easier than I expected.
That's the nature of procrastination, I think, in general. Is this, rarely is it actually as bad as you think it is. I did once have a dentist that would give me an extremely hard time for any missed appointment or absence of any duration. One we got now is pretty fucking chill about it, which I do really appreciate.
Yeah.
Holland says, my small wonder is people who really like dinosaurs. No matter their age, I have never been bored talking to someone who knows a lot about dinosaurs. It's so fun getting to hear new facts about those crazy creatures.
Yeah. I feel like everybody has a dinosaur phase as a kid, and it's just whether or not you maintain that enthusiasm.
Oh, dog, especially like growing up. Again, to return to the era of Movie Phone, in the age of Jurassic Park coming out, a lot of people got real into dinosaurs real fast. Who otherwise probably would not have been in there. So well done, Michael Crichton, for all your good stuff that you did.
And then how we always end the show.
Thank you, Michael Crichton.
Thank you, Michael Crichton.
Thank you also to Bowen and Augustus for the use of our theme song, Money Won't Pay. You can find a link to that in the episode description. Thank you to Maximum Fun for having us on the network. Go to MaximumFun.org. Check out all the great shows we got on there. We have some live shows coming up from Bim Bam and Taz. We're going to be in Chicago at the end of this month during C2E2. We are going to be in Tacoma and Vancouver in May. And then in June, we are going to be in Kansas City, St. Louis, and Tyson's, Virginia here.
Yeah. Hey, Missouri. We're going to be there.
We'll be there. Come on out. It'll be a lot of fun. You can go to MacroyTours.com to find all that, or McElroy that family to find all that. And we got some merch over at McElroyMerch.com that you're also going to love. There's a new Taz versus Dracula poster that looks absolutely badass.
Oh, and there's the little wombat.
And there's a little wombat with the cubes. anyway, that's it. Thank you all so much for listening. We'll be back next week with another hot new episode.
Yeah.
So keep it locked. And thank you so much, Michael Crichton.
Thank you, Michael Crichton.
Maximum Fun.
A worker-owned network.
of artist-owned shows.
Supported
directly
by you.